Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, you know a president's in trouble when statewide office holders of his own party are fleeing him like the plague, thinking that he can't possibly help them. We saw it in Virginia last year when he was, you know, campaigning for Democrats, but none of the actual Democrats showed up for him at the rallies for the state Senate and state House offices. Well, now we're seeing it again in the state of North Carolina, where Democratic Governor Bev Perdue was probably going to be in for a very tough reelection fight anyway. Her state is hosting the Democratic convention, but apparently she doesn't think the Obama magic's going to carry her through like it did 4 years ago when Obama and Perdue surprisingly won in North Carolina. She has decided not to seek a second term, which is good for Republicans hoping to pick up the governorship in North Carolina. But it also says that there's not a lot of confidence in the party that there's going to be any real coattails from the incumbent president.
Yeah, particularly not in a place like North Carolina. Yeah, I think you laid it out well, which is that, look, it's not like Bev Perdue is saying there's no way Obama wins North Carolina, but you'd like, you know, you'd figure that if she saw any shot at reelection, she'd stay in this, and so she does not see it. A lot of this has to do with her own record and her own ways that she has disappointed the people of North Carolina, but I think it's also safe to say that the Democratic brand in North Carolina has taken some pretty tough hits, and that there are a couple of states that Obama won last time that the outlook just looks very different this cycle. I think in no one, you know, he won Indiana by some very strange confluence of events, and now he's, no one really thinks Indiana is going to be in his pile this one. You might put North Carolina as the most next most likely in that category. He's polling very poorly in New Hampshire. And now I think you can put Florida in that category, and I think a lot of people are starting to wonder about Ohio. So, you know, the stage is set. Oh, and also I'd say the state I'm sitting in right now, Virginia. So the stage is set, and the Perdue retirement is just one more indicator of this. No one should, you know, count any chickens before they hatch, and that's not a Perdue chicken joke. But just an observation that if you're the Obama campaign, they're going to keep insisting that, oh, no, we're playing in North Carolina, we're playing in North Carolina. I wouldn't be surprised that when push comes to shove, North Carolina is among those states that they pull out of first, to the extent that if they have any resource decisions to make. They may have enough funding. They don't need to worry about this. But again, just kind of an interesting indicator heading into 2012, I think.
Yeah, we'll take any sign we can get because, as we know, it's going to be a tough fight to take out an incumbent, especially when there's a pretty rough and tumble primary, which brings us to Martini number two. And Jim, it was just Monday after the South Carolina primary wrapped up on Saturday that we said, the Republican electorate, they're still not settled on the candidate. Three different candidates have won the first three contests, so who knows what's going to happen from here? Well, indecisive is a little different from an electorate that might need some medication, because when you look at recent Florida polls before Newt's surge in South Carolina, Mitt Romney had a 23-point lead in Florida. 2 days after Newt Gingrich won South Carolina, Newt had a 9-point lead. Now, according to an American Research poll, Romney is back up by 7. Jim, that's a lot of volatility, even for a big chunk of the electorate who has no idea who they like in this race.
It is. And it's one of those things where, you can say, oh, maybe this pollster has it wrong or that pollster has it wrong. But they're coming in clumps, which makes, and the direct, even if the margins change, the direction seems to be the same. Romney had a really, really big lead in Florida before South Carolina, and then it disappeared. Not only did Gingrich, get even with him, Gingrich, surged. And, he was up by 5, up by 8, up by 9. And then, you could argue that Gingrich has had a couple of tough days on the trail, the talk about Freddie Mac, et cetera. But now it's, tie, Romney by 2, Romney by 8. And by the time this podcast comes up on the website, maybe there'll be more out today. I'm less concerned about which guy is up. I mean, theoretically, things are improving for Romney. But this just makes the whole electorate seem kind of on the fickle side and shallow. Those of us who are really gung-ho into politics tend to look at these guys, tend to see themselves as combinations of strengths and weaknesses, and we have our preferences. I just have this awful feeling that Floridians are thinking, well, I really like this Mitt Romney guy. That looks good. And then they hear something about Bain Capital, and they say, oh, my goodness, I can't support that guy anymore. Let me go on to Newt. And then they see something about Freddie Mac and say, oh, my goodness, I can't support that person. It just seems like there's almost this ADD or this strange, indecisiveness in the electorate. And I think it's kind of a little bit ominous that that every one of these candidates can see their support disappear like that. Just an ominous, I'd like to see a little more certitude in our voters. I suppose I should say it's good news that the people are open-minded and willing to take in new data and rethink what they're doing. But it just seems like a very volatile electorate and a little unnerving to see people changing their minds so quickly and jumping on bandwagons and off bandwagons. Somebody's going to sprain an ankle that way.
Certitude really sounds like a George W. Bush word. I'm glad you threw that in there.
Certitude.
Exactly.
Certitude is my strategery.
The thing that concerns me about this most, Jim, is it's just if this fickleness just keeps going, how fired up is the base going to be and independents going to be when it really matters? If they're just not sold on a nominee from week to week, you know, we're going to have the lifeless McCain or Dole campaign once again, and that's not going to be enough to get over the finish line in the way we want to. So
let me take that uncertainty out of your mind, Greg. They won't be cheered up. We're still aspiring for the enthusiasm of the McCain and Dole campaign. It's where we are. I mean, or as I was writing the Morning Jolt today, if it's not brokered, don't fix it. I am a very big fan of this whole brokered convention, and we scrap the whoever the front number one, number two, and number three are, and just find some new people. Paul Ryan, Jeb Bush, Mitch Daniels, Bobby Jindal, Pat Toomey, Mark Arru. There's a whole bunch of really good people who we could just drag kicking and screaming into this campaign. And just think of all the wasted opposition research on the part of the Democratic National Committee there.
Well, people have said the presidential campaign has turned into a reality show. Maybe the convention could actually be one and folks call in and everything to pick the new nominee. But
huge ratings, the big surprise twist at the end. This would be great,
Well, if some folks are wondering why Newt Gingrich might be slipping in the polls, there's probably a number of reasons. You mentioned his association with Freddie Mac that came up a lot in the first debate this week. But the issue that seemed to give him the big boost in South Carolina, his indignant response to the story of his second ex-wife coming out and suggesting that he wanted an open marriage back in the 1990s, his fierce response got people fired up about how he could take on the big media. He's not afraid to fire back. Well, a couple different realities have now sunk in, which might not be helping the former speaker. First of all, the one fact that he entered into his response to John King in that debate was this.
Every personal friend I have who knew us in that period says the story was false. We offered several of them to ABC to prove it was false. They weren't interested.
Gingrich then talked to John King a few days ago on CNN and said this.
Just plain baloney. I mean, I'll check with R.C. Hammond in a minute, but if they're saying that, they're not being honest. And because they said explicitly the opposite.
That was him saying that ABC was wrong when ABC said that there were no Gingrich friends who were offered up, and Newt saying that's baloney. Then comes John King.
Well, tonight, after persistent questioning by our staff, the Gingrich campaign concedes now Speaker Gingrich was wrong, both in his debate answer and in our interview yesterday. Gingrich spokesman R.C. Hammond says the only people the campaign offered to ABC were the speaker's two daughters from his first marriage.
And then another issue comes up, Jim, as he met with David Brody of CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network. The issue of forgiveness came up in concert with the CBN, of course, being a Christian entity, and Newt talking about how he sought forgiveness and reconciliation. But then he decided to try and turn his infidelities into a positive in this campaign. Check this out.
And I think most people can identify, either with themselves or with friends or with loved ones, that life has moments that are very sad that you wish weren't occurring, and that you look back on them and you seek forgiveness for not having been everything you could be. So I think in that sense it may make me more normal than somebody who wanders around seeming perfect and maybe not understanding the human condition and the challenges of life for normal people.
It's amazing how brash you can be while attempting to be humble, Jim, when he tries to make that claim. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish there, but if he thought he put this issue down, it's right back up again.
On the first one, this you could say is my one of those nagging doubts about Gingrich, this idea that he will say whatever he needs to say to get out of a particular problem. And in those moments of high dudgeon, for example, when he was going after Romney on Bain stuff and on disclosure yesterday, he said, Mitt Romney hasn't disclosed a single thing about his finances. Not a single thing, Greg. I mean, literally true. He's disclosed a bunch of things. Now, you could say, I want to see more. You can say questions are, there are a bunch of arguments you can make. But Newt just goes straight to the hyperbole, straight to, the most emotionally intense expression of fury. And maybe the facts get left behind. And I think probably everyone does this. To get to his second point, yes, that is normal, but it's not really a good trait. I don't think it's a good trait to see a candidate or a president. And on that last one, I guess I'll extend a little bit of sympathy to Newt. There's really not a good way to talk about his difficulties in his personal life and difficulties in his past marriage. So, sure, you know, if he wants to say this makes him more normal, I suppose. I don't necessarily think that's still much of a sales pitch or something. I you know, you look at Newt's waistline. Yes, okay, a lot of us relate to that. You look at, you know, there are a lot of flaws of Newt that, you know, a lot of us can relate to. I don't know if that necessarily makes him a better candidate. I don't think it necessarily makes people say, ooh, I want to vote for that guy. Did Obama's smoking make him more relatable? You could argue George W. Bush overcoming drinking was an important part of his personal story. I suppose you could say, Mike Huckabee's overcoming his battles with his weight. But I don't really think, one, that this is as decisive in voters' thinking as we think it is. And I think to say, look, I fool around a lot, you know, people relate to that. We have a tendency to believe everyone else is very much like us. And I think that, in fact, we are, you know, we tend to project onto other people our strengths and our weaknesses and our flaws. New teachers are always telling me that they kind of expected their students to be like them and they're completely different. People who end up becoming managers in offices are always surprised that the workers approach their work very differently than they did. Newt, I don't know if everybody looks at your you know, marital difficulties and says, oh, yes, I relate to that. I know that guy. I kind of hope people don't. But we will see what happens. Again, I have a certain amount of sympathy for Newt saying that there's no easy way to talk about these subjects other than to say, I screwed up, but I'm really sorry and I'm trying to be a better man now. I think you're pointing out, though, the argument that he's saying, of all networks, to say this on CBN is quite quite eye-opening. As they say in Florida, buena suerte on that note, Newt.
Exactly. So who knows what's going to be said tonight on stage, whether from Gingrich or any of the others. Jim, have a great night. Enjoy, what is this, the 19th or 20th debate? And
4,387, I believe.
Talk to you tomorrow.
See you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.